I was in Boston last weekend with my family. If you've ever been to Boston, you probably checked out the Freedom Trail. How many of you have been in Boston and checked out the Freedom Trail? Lots of you free people out there. We certainly did too. It's a great sight, very engaging. We heard the story of Paul Revere and the lanterns and the steeples of the Old North Church. The British are coming, the British are coming. One if by land, two if by sea. We toured the USS Constitution, also known as Old Ironsides. The ship was constructed out of sturdy oak. British cannonballs bounced off the sides of the ship and barely made a dent. We went to Bunker Hill, the site of the first major battle of the Revolutionary War. And the British won the battle, but it strengthened the resolve of the Patriots to win the war. And these stories and more were incredibly stirring. They drove home the point that freedom is costly. Our ancestors paid for it with sweat and sacrifice and blood. Our time in Boston drove home the point, too, that freedom can be complicated. One person's freedom can be another person's oppression. Groups like the Pilgrims and the Puritans came to America hoping to escape religious persecution. But in the process, they sometimes imposed their own brand of intolerance. We visited Salem, where the infamous witch trials took place in the late 1600s. Hundreds of suspects were arrested. 20 of them were executed, most with very little evidence. Because witchcraft was only a civil offense, the 20 were ultimately charged with treason so they could be put to death. Freedom is probably no less complicated today. There are ways of competing interests to weigh, always competing interest. Should NFL owners force their players to stand for the national anthem? Or should they allow them to kneel as an expression of their First Amendment rights? Should people like Stephen Paddock be allowed to buy any and all the guns they want and then convert them with bump stocks into automatic rifles? Or is this too great a threat to the public? Should a conservative Christian baker be free not to bake a wedding cake for a gay couple? Or is this yet another example of discrimination? These are important questions. They are worthy of deep conversations. Freedom is costly and it's complicated. The issue of freedom comes up in our gospel from John. There's a conflict in the local synagogue between those Jews who believe in Jesus as the Messiah and those who don't. Over time, the conflict has grown to the point where the leaders in the synagogue become hostile towards Jesus' followers. Eventually, they would expel them from the synagogue, claiming they were not true children of Abraham. In this week's reading, Jesus seems to be speaking to a group of his followers who are sitting on the fence, in and out. They have previously professed faith in him, but now they are not so sure. The simmering controversy with the synagogue has made them anxious and afraid. And Jesus attempts to reassure them, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Well, like a lot of conversations in John, this one is full of twists and turns. Jesus' listeners respond, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been in bondage to anyone." Now, this is a curious thing to say because their ancestors spent 400 years in slavery in Egypt and another 50 years in exile in Babylon. And even now, the country is occupied by Rome. Perhaps they are too caught up in their national identity, as if being God's chosen people somehow guarantees their claim to freedom. Well, Jesus shifts the conversation from politics to their personal lives. Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Maybe they are not as free as they think they are. Maybe a life alienated from God has a way of going from bad to worse for them and for us. Ask someone caught up in an opioid addiction. Ask someone who can't stop hoarding. Ask Harvey Weinstein, or better yet, ask one of the dozens of women who've accused him of sexual assault. When life is going from bad to worse, it can feel like there is no way out. Martin Luther struggled with the reality of sin in his life. When we are left to our own devices, said Luther, we are not truly free. Oh, we have a certain freedom from below, Luther said, when it comes to our everyday choices, what to fix for dinner, what kind of car to drive. But when it comes to matters above us, that is, in relationship to God, sin holds us captive and we cannot free ourselves. According to Luther, our efforts to make things right with God cannot erase our past mistakes. God has to make the first move. We see this first move as Jesus makes the final comment to those sitting on the fence. If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. This is a critical juncture. Freedom doesn't come from trying really hard to be good people. It doesn't come from believing all the right things. Rather, freedom comes in the person of Jesus. God has already made the first move in him. Do you know me? Jesus asks people again and again in the Gospel of John. Do you know me? And do you love me? Do you want to be my disciples? And if so, then come to me. Stay connected with me, and you will know how much I love you, and you will be free to live a life that matters. In a book called The Whisper Test, Mary Ann Bird tells the story of how God made the first move to her. It came through the kindness of a teacher. Mary Ann was born with multiple birth defects. She was deaf in one ear. She had a cleft palate, a disfigured face, a crooked nose. As a child, she suffered not only physical impairments, but also the emotional damage inflicted by other children. "Oh, Mary Ann," the classmates would say, "what happened to your lip?" "I cut it on a piece of glass," she would fib. One of the worst experiences at school was the day of the annual hearing test. The teacher would call each child to her desk, and the child would first cover one ear and then the other. The teacher would whisper something like, "The sky is blue," or "You have new shoes." This was the whisper test. If the teacher's words were heard and repeated, the child passed the test. And to avoid humiliation, Mary Ann would always cheat on the test, secretly cupping her hand over her one good ear so she could hear what the teacher was saying. Now, one year, Mary Ann was in the class of Miss Leonard, one of the most beloved teachers in the school. Every student, including Mary Ann, wanted to be noticed by her. And then the day of the dreaded hearing test arrived. When Mary Ann's turn came, she was called to the teacher's desk. As she cupped her hand over her good ear, Miss Leonard leaned forward to whisper something. "I waited for those words," Mary Ann said, "words that God must have put in her mouth. Those 7 words that changed my life." Miss Leonard did not say, "The sky is blue," or "You have new shoes." What she whispered instead was, "I wish You were my little girl. Miss Leonard made the first move. She spoke words of remarkable tenderness and love. She set Mary Ann free from doubts and shame. And in the process, she changed her life. Mary Ann went on to become a teacher herself. And she was a person of inner beauty and great kindness. God makes the first move toward us in Jesus. It's a move of remarkable tenderness and love. It doesn't matter if we're sitting on the fence, like those first century Christians expelled from the synagogue. It doesn't matter if we're doubt that we ever truly measure up, like Martin Luther early in his life. It doesn't matter if we feel wounded and unlovable, like Mary Ann Bird. God comes to us wherever we are, and God says, I wish you were my little child. This is good news, don't you think? If the Son makes us free, we will be free indeed. This freedom is costly, involving a cross, and it's complicated, calling you and me to a life of discipleship. At the heart of it, this discipleship is not about being really good people or about believing all the right things. Rather, it's about a journey with Jesus and putting our trust in Him. Rest assured, as we do this, we are free to live a life that matters. Amen.